Father, you have been so good to us. You have loved us with an everlasting, steadfast love. And you've demonstrated that by giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, by him giving his life for us. And so, Father, we ask now that you would help us to give our lives to you. Help us, Father, to submit to your word in all things, to learn from it, to love it, and be changed by it. Father, I pray that you would help us as we look at your word. We want to understand your truth and not just our opinions or our traditions or our thoughts. So please, Father, help us. And it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in essence, I'll read you the full question in a moment. But in essence, the question is, why do you teach that you aren't fully saved until baptized by water? Now here's the question I got. And it's a little bit longer in the way it's worded, but that's kind of the crux of it. It says, when God / Christ saves us and regenerates our heart, there is a baptism of our heart. I do believe baptism, physical, is important as a covenant with the church. Why is there such a strong position that you aren't fully saved until baptized by water? Christ's works on his own are sufficient to save us. The way I see it, if we have to be baptized in order to be saved, it nullifies Christ's sacrifice, saying that the act of Christ was not enough. So in essence, you know, why is it that we teach that baptism is necessary for salvation? And there's a lot of people who will ask that question. And so whether you're thinking about that question or not, I hope this will be of some benefit to you, because probably you will have some friends and family members, some neighbors, co-workers who are a part of a church or a denomination that teaches something like this. And there's a lot of common things in that question that I hear a lot. You know, baptism is a covenant to the church, right? Maybe it's how you place membership in some churches. Or, you know, we're saved by grace of God through faith, which is true, but then they'll say, because of that, baptism, you know, is not something that has a saving effect. Now, let me give you a couple of definitions, and then we're going to get into a lot of scripture. What? Am I talking too fast? Oh, going too far from the microphone. Yes, because I am trying to record this. Thank you. All right. If you are a note taker, I would encourage you to take notes for this lesson, especially because we are going to go through several scriptures, and I want you to be able to reference these later on. Let's start with a definition. The word baptism comes from a Greek word, and that word is baptizo. And it is a word that literally means to dip, to immerse, or to cleanse or purify by washing. And so when we talk about baptism, we do talk about immersion, going down into the water, being dunked, so to speak, and coming back up. In fact, we see that in the scriptures, I think, pretty clearly. The passage on your screen, it's a little bit cut up, so it'll be more concise, but it comes from Acts chapter 8. And this is when Philip converts the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, you all hopefully remember that story. If not, go back and read it. But there's this chariot with the Ethiopian, and they're riding down, and Philip goes up to the chariot, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? Now, he's reading from the prophet Isaiah, which says that he was taken as a sheep to the slaughter. And the man, the Ethiopian man in the chariot, says, how can I unless someone explains it? And it says, from that very scripture, he started to teach him the good news about Jesus. Now, somewhere in the midst of all of this, in teaching the good news about Jesus, baptism came up, or else the Ethiopian had known about it from other places, because they're riding along and he says, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Now, there are some times in your New Testament that the word baptism will be used, and it's not referring to water baptism. The apostles, for instance, it was told that they would be baptized or immersed in the Holy Spirit, right? And they'd be given miraculous power to work miracles. John the Baptist said, Jesus is coming, he's going to baptize with fire. You know, there's going to be that cleansing, purifying, immersive element. But generally, the Bible is talking about this. They came to some water, and he said, what prevents me from being baptized? And so it says they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, he baptized him, and they came up out of the water. So this is just kind of a preliminary look at this, but it's important to see there was no sprinkling, no pouring, no anything like that that sometimes gets confused in our world for baptism, because that literally is not what the word means. It doesn't mean a pouring or sprinkling. It means an immersion, right? Dunking. So that's what our word means. Now, we're often very quick in the religious world today to say, well, baptism doesn't save. And before we make a statement like that, we need to ask the question, well, what does God's word say? And the first place I want to draw your attention to is 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. There is a reference made to Noah and to the flood. And Peter there says that the ark saved 8 persons, Noah and his family, through water. And then he says baptism, which corresponds to this, now does what? It says now saves you. So the Bible literally comes out and says baptism saves you. Now, here's where I would agree with many people. The physical act of baptism alone is not what makes it special. It's not what saves you. In fact, look at the scripture. He says it saves you not as the removal of dirt from the body. It's not about just getting wet, right? If that was so, we could just, you know, knock a bunch of people unconscious and throw them in the baptism pool and say, okay, you've been washed, you've been saved. And that's obviously not how it works. But he says it saves you because it is this appeal to God for a good or a clean conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so it has a saving effect, not simply because of the physical thing, but because of what it meant. We'll look at a passage in a moment that kind of compares it to the Old Testament reality of circumcision. Well, the physical act of circumcision was just a physical act, right? It was just a cut that was made. But it showed something deeper, something spiritual, that you were a part of God's people. And baptism, although the physical nature of baptism by itself doesn't save, the spiritual reality of it is what does. Now, in saying that, there's no example in the Bible anywhere of someone who said, well, I've been spiritually baptized. You know, I've been baptized in my heart, was the words the person had in their question. And we never see that in the Bible. We always do see that they are physically baptized. But we all know you could be physically baptized and still not saved. In fact, some people get baptized again later in life or something because they realize, you know, I was just doing it to get wet. Or I was just doing it because my friends and family were doing it. Or I was just doing it because someone pressured me. You know, I knew of someone who said that when he was wanting to marry this young lady, the lady's father said, well, you're not going to marry her unless you're baptized in the Church of Christ. And so he was baptized. But later on, he realized, well, I wasn't really saved through that because I didn't truly understand. I didn't believe in Jesus. At least not as I should. So let me give you some scriptures and some facts on baptism. And then hopefully you can make up your own mind. Does it matter? And why does it matter? Now, two scriptures I'm not really going to talk about. I'm not really going to talk about John chapter 3 and verse 5, in which he says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's a scripture that's heavily debated. A lot of people want to say it doesn't refer to baptism. I do believe it does, but for time's sake, I'm not going to get into that debate, and I'm going to show us that even without that scripture, you can clearly show what the Bible teaches. And the other one is Mark 16:16. Again, I think it's a great scripture. It says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And some people debate that scripture too. Some people will say, well, maybe that's not supposed to be in your Bible. I do think that's, again, a reliable scripture. But if you're going to answer someone who's already, you know, struggling with these things, let's go to the places where it's most obvious and easy to talk about. Does that make sense? All right. So, the first reason why baptism matters is because of the removal of sin. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, which if you've been a member here for any length of time, you've probably heard many times. The people are guilty of crucifying Jesus Christ. And they say, what shall we do? And how does Peter answer? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. So there is a purpose behind baptism here, and that purpose is forgiveness of sins. And so if you look at this kind of backwards and you say, well, I want forgiveness of sins, you ask the question, well, what should I do? Well, Peter gave them a couple things there. He said, repent, make a life change, turn around, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, there are other things we know that you need to be forgiven, right? Do you need to believe in Jesus Christ to be forgiven of your sins? Absolutely. But if you look at the context, they already did believe. They had heard the sermon Peter preached about Jesus being the Son of God, being Lord, being risen from the dead, and so their response is, well, what do we need to do to make this right? They wouldn't have asked that question if they didn't believe that he truly was Lord and Savior. In Acts 22, verse 16, the Apostle Paul is told, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on his name. So, baptism, it seems, is connected with the forgiveness or the washing of my sin. Now, again, if you take the gospel out of the equation, is baptism going to wash away your sins? No. It's absolutely the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away your sins. But as we'll see in this next point, to have access to that forgiveness, to the blood of Jesus Christ, we are baptized. So our next point is that baptism is the thing that the Bible tells us brings us into Christ. This phrase, into Christ or into Jesus, is a phrase that, in my studying, as far as I can tell, is actually only used in connection with baptism. Now, do we need to be in Christ to be saved? Yeah. Right? Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? If we do not abide in him, we're not going to be saved. So, the question for us is not necessarily tonight, how do we abide or remain in him, but how do we get into Jesus in the first place? Galatians 3, 26 through 27. It says, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Okay? Faith is certainly important. You are all sons of God through faith. And he says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4, he says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So Galatians tells us that, yes, we're sons of God through faith, but yet there has to be this putting on of Jesus. And he says that those who were baptized have put on Christ. In Romans 6, we're told that all who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death, into his burial, into his resurrection. Colossians chapter 2 confirms that truth about being buried and being raised with Christ. We saw that already in Romans 6, where it says that We were baptized into his death. We were buried with him. And we have been raised with him so that we might walk in newness of life. Colossians 2 compares it to circumcision, but to a spiritual circumcision. He says that in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Okay, so he's talking about a spiritual thing. Not a physical circumcision here, but he says, in order to be spiritually circumcised, it has to be done by Christ. Well, how does that happen? He says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were all dead in our trespasses. Right? We were dead in our sin. If we want to be people who are spiritually alive, we have to be raised with Christ. And he tells us, this is how you do it. You're buried with him in baptism. You raise with him to a new life. Number 4. Baptism is this thing that adds us to the church. Now, I found it very interesting in the question here that was asked. They said, well, baptism is important as a covenant with the church. And that's, to me, and I'm not trying to sound, you know, harsh or anything, or put whoever this was down who asked the question, to me that's almost right, but just not quite right. Because baptism is the thing, it said in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, that adds us to the church. It's a covenant, in a sense, that I make with God. But all who are Christians, who have been saved by Jesus Christ, are members of the church. You know, it's not necessarily something that you have to do, you know, at every church you go to place membership or to make a covenant with. But the reality is we are added to the Lord's church. We are added to Christ's body when we are baptized. In 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 13, it says, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. For all were made to drink of one spirit. And so it says that in that one spirit we were baptized into one body. And so if we are going to be members of the church, if we are going to be added to the church, we have to be put into the body of Jesus Christ. It's needed to make disciples. When Jesus sent out his apostles, he tells them to go to make disciples of all nations. This is Matthew 28:19. And how does he tell them to do that? He says, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them and baptizing them. Teaching and baptizing them. And so we see it used there in making disciples. Let me just share a couple more things, and I won't take too much of our time. One thing that always strikes me is that in the New Testament scriptures, you see that it is done immediately when someone believes. There is no waiting. You know, there's not a period of, well, you know, let's have a special, you know, time of baptism where we do everyone who's a recent convert at once. But instead, we see it's done right away. We mentioned the Ethiopian. They're riding down the road. He says, look, there's water. Let's do this now. Right? What prevents me from being baptized? The Philippian jailer. Remember, he was there as they were singing hymns and the prison bars open. And he's about to kill himself because he thinks he's lost the prisoners. And they say, no, don't harm yourself. We're here. And he asked that question, what do I need to do to be saved? And they answer him, believe in Jesus Christ. But then you see immediately, he's baptized. Now, it's around midnight at this point. You know, they could have easily said, well, let's baptize you when we wake up. Right? Let's all get a good night's sleep and then we'll baptize you. But they do it then at midnight. And then one of my favorite examples is of the Apostle Paul, found in Acts chapter 9. You remember his story, right? He's riding on the road to Damascus. The Lord appears to him. He says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul goes blind. He ends up in this house praying and fasting without food or water for 3 days. Ananias comes to him, restores his sight, and he is baptized. And then it says that after he was baptized, he took food. He nourished himself. Now, you've been 3 days without food, without drinking. In my mind, my first thought is, let's get something in my belly. And then we'll take care of this baptism thing. But apparently it was deemed important enough that they said, let's do it right away. Right? Let's not wait. So we see it's important in that it's done immediately here. We see that it was something that needed to happen even after some group received the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius and some of his household, Gentiles, they hear the gospel and they receive the Holy Spirit. They're speaking in tongues. They're doing miraculous things. And yet, they say, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded, he didn't suggest, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked him to remain for some days. So, we could easily say, well, they've already got the Holy Spirit. They've already believed the gospel. Right? They already have evidence of being saved. But yet, it's commanded that they be baptized. One more thing in my list of things to consider. It needed to be done into Jesus, in his name. In Acts chapter 19, verses 3 through 5, Paul comes to Ephesus. He finds the believers there have been taught the good news. They've been taught the scriptures by Apollos. And they only knew John's baptism. They were baptized the way John the Baptist was baptizing people. And Paul could have easily said, well, that's probably good enough. You know, you've already done it. You've already been dunked. You've already been immersed. You were baptized with the baptism of repentance. That's great. But instead, it says that on hearing this, on hearing the good news about Jesus, it says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So it was deemed so important that they would re-baptize people who were not baptized into Jesus Christ the way that the Bible teaches. So when you put all these things together, you realize that baptism from the Scripture plays a very crucial role in our salvation. You know, it is the washing. It is the cleansing of our sin, the forgiveness of our sin. It is entering into Christ. It is becoming a disciple. It is being added to the church. And it is all these things that we've discussed. Now, as soon as you look at that, people will start asking questions. Well, wait a minute. What about if someone is on their way to be baptized and they die on the way to that? Or what about the person who's on some island and there's no one there to baptize him? Or what about this? What about that? And I'll say, honestly, I'm glad I don't have to have all the answers to all those questions. And I'm thankful that I'm not the one who's going to sort all that out. God, in his great wisdom, grace, and mercy, is going to be the one to decide all those things. But I have an obligation to teach the truth of God's word. And, you know, if you're someone who is hearing this truth and you are, you know, maybe you haven't been baptized. Maybe you're questioning if your baptism was the way that God's word has shown it. Don't focus on the hypotheticals. Focus on your own soul. And ask the question, do I have confidence in this? Have I followed God's word in being baptized this way? Now, one other objection that I hear quite often is people will say, well, we're saved by by grace, by faith, apart from works. Baptism is a good work. And that was kind of what this question was saying. To say you have to be baptized is to say you're saved by works. You're not saved by grace or by faith anymore. Well, what is grace? Grace is getting something that you did not deserve or earn, like salvation. This week, a lady called the office, and she needed some food. And I told her, all right, here's what I'll do. We don't give out money. You know, we don't just hand out money. But if you go to the store and you get about $50 worth of food, I'll meet you at the grocery store. I'll pay for your food. Did she earn that at all? No. She didn't work for it. Did she receive the food? She actually did not. Because she never called me and said, I'm at the grocery store. Come and pay for my groceries. I was waiting all day around the time when she was supposed to call. She never called. And so she did not get the food that was promised to her. You see, baptism is not a good work that we do to earn God's grace or favor or salvation or anything like that. Baptism is God saying, look, I've provided you salvation. I've given my life. My blood has been shed. So come meet me at the water. And your sins will be washed away. And you'll be added to the church. And you will be buried and raised with me to a new life. And so God has made this offer. The question is, will you meet him in the water? If you are ready to do that, you could do that this afternoon. If you have not yet been baptized, or maybe as we've talked about this, maybe you've said, well, I'm not sure if I was really baptized the way that the Bible teaches. And maybe you want to remedy that, just like they did in Ephesus. Then we could baptize you this afternoon. If you want to know more, if you have questions, I'd love to talk with you. And if there's anything else we can do to encourage you or strengthen you in your walk with Christ, we would love to do that. If you need to respond for any reason, please do so as we stand and sing.